You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Been that good, then we're going to believe that it's going to get better. Amen. And so if you get in your Bibles, Matthew 11:28, we're in a series at the moment, obviously, Jesus in Genesis, but I'm going to take a little detour this week, something that God has laid on my heart to preach, and then we'll be back on track next week. When I used to work in the city, I used to be getting the tube to the city, and you know, if you've ever been on that commute when you go, when you work in the city, it's always ram. It's you know, this time of year, it's if some of you have had to do that commute today, I feel sorry for you. I pray for you, man, because it's hot and ram, and this is, you know, the two things you do not want to be. And so, but from time to time, you know, you'd have to push on. You'd have to really push it on to get onto the train. How many of you ever, you know, the tube? You'd have to push to get on. But sometimes you would see somebody, like, they would come, they would try to get on the train, and they'd have this massive backpack on. Like, massive. Like, I don't mean like a rucksack. We all carry a rucksack. I mean this backpack thing. Like there could be a body in it. Matt, you ever seen these people, and it's ram, and you're like, oh, come on, man. Why are you getting on, like, come on, like, rush hour, please. This is not the time. And one time I saw someone, you know, they got on, and the train was, and the doors kept shutting on the backpack, and everyone's, like, trying to pull them in. And so I always, when I see that, I always think, to me, that's not a holiday. Maybe some of you like that type of holiday. You're going to put all your belongings and trek all around England and Europe and that. I'll be honest with you, that's not my type of holiday. My type of holiday is going somewhere hot, and I can just chill and relax. Amen. And so that would be a holiday for me, not waylaying myself down, trotting around with this massive backpack. But I was thinking about this backpack because that's how some people go through life. That's how some people are going through life, with this massive backpack on. And when you've got that backpack, you know, it's just awkward. If you turn around, you're going to knock people out. It's just awkward. And I want to preach about something that is very simple from the scriptures, but very profound. And I pray that it helps some of you today, that maybe you've come in here with a backpack. Maybe you've even knocked somebody out with it already. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace and your mercy and your spirit. Father, I pray that you would help us to hear your word today. I pray, Father, that you would cut through our religious exterior. I pray, Father, that we would not come in here to play church or to pretend. But I pray, Father, that we've come in with our hearts open. Speak to our hearts. Speak to the inner man, the inner woman, who we really are. Father, we lay aside our masks today, and we ask you that you would really speak to us and lift us up. And most of all, we pray that Jesus would be magnified. And all God's people said, amen. Life is basically going to load you up as time goes on. You know, if you go on the internet, if you've ever had one of these computer cleaner things, they go through your computer and they clean it, and they're supposed to get rid of certain things. And if you know anything about the internet, all you need to do is just go on the internet, and things go on your computer. Things are being downloaded every time you're going on a website or something. One time I had this, I had this web browser and I downloaded it, and it showed you every website you went on, who was actually looking at you on this website. It was scary. And it had this thing. It looked like some sort of code thing. And so you go on a website, and then these web things would pop up. And it would be like this person, and then two other people, and three other people. And once you've seen that, you don't want to go on the internet again. Because the reality is that just by you going on the internet, your computer is downloading things. And that's why you need these things that are constantly cleaning your computer. Well, can I say to you today, life is like that. As you're going through life, life is loading things onto you. Life is going to load you up. It's going to put things into your life. When we were born, we came into this world without a care in the world. That's how we're all born. We did, you know, babies don't worry about what's going on. They just, you know, I want food, I cry. I've done the other thing. The food is the other side of me now, and I cry. But very soon, life starts to load some things on you. You start to, as a young person, you start to want to fit in. And this is like a big concern. If you're either you're young here or you've been young. So you know what I'm talking about. You know, when you're young, you just want to fit in. You want people to like you. You want to find your place. You want to fit in. You're worried about what people think about you. And all of these things. And so life starts to load you up. Whereas one time, I remember, you know, as a kid, you could run around all day. My trousers would be always have like a hole in the knee. Not like the holes in the knee fashion now. I mean, you know, just skidding on the floor. Looked like a tramp, hair all wavy and crazy, like a thundercat. And so just running around wild. You get to a certain age, then you start to worry about what you look like. And I remember being like a young guy and, you know, as a kid, and my mom's like, hey, what's going on here? And I want this type of clothes and I've got to wear these type of trainers. Please, mom, will you buy me these? Because now I've got to fit in. Life has loaded me up already, even as a young kid, with these expectations. This is something I'm worried about, something I'm concerned about. I'm not carefree anymore. And then we get older, and we gain responsibilities. How many know part of being old, maturing, should I say? That's a better word. Part of maturing is gaining responsibilities. That's part of it. You know, if you want a house, you know, how many know you don't always want to live with your mom? Amen, men. And so, you know, you want to go out there. So that means you've got to pay rent, pay council tax, pay water, pay electric, pay gas, pay all the... And so the life starts to load you up with responsibilities. You've got responsibilities with family, relationship responsibilities. If you want to have a relationship, it starts... How many know relationships come with their own baggage? Like, listen, relationships are a blessing. And I'm talking about man and woman. And so, you know, you want to date somebody and then eventually get married and, you know, do things the right way. Yeah, you know, it's a blessing. It's a wonderful thing. Being married is the best thing that happened to me after salvation. But it comes with its own concerns. As a single person, there are things you don't have to worry about that a married person has to worry about. It comes with its own responsibilities. It's starting to load you up. Like I said, paying bills. And as you go through life, this is what happens. You're trying to make things work. So now you're trying to make your marriage work. You want your kids to have the best start. You're trying to pay your bills. You're trying to keep your family happy. You're trying to do all of these things. And what that does is it creates like a weight. It creates this thing that you're carrying around. And life becomes heavy. And this is why many times people start to feel overwhelmed. If we stood you here and we was like, okay, you know what? We've got this massive backpack. We put it on your back and it's empty. And we just bit by bit start putting stuff in it, like heavy stuff, like stones and rocks and all of that. And we write different things on it. This accounts for that. Eventually, you'd be like, no, this is too heavy. I barely can move. And this is how some people can feel in their life. They feel, this is why sometimes people feel overwhelmed, like, why would you be overwhelmed? What would overwhelm you about life? The reason why we feel overwhelmed is because life is putting stuff on us. This is why people start to feel down.
because there's a pressure pushing them down. The weight of life puts them down. This is why people, when it gets really bad, what do they say? I feel depressed. What does that mean? Is that there has to be something putting pressure on you. If we had something here and we said depress it, that means to put pressure on it. External pressure that would push on it to eventually there's nothing in it. This is a reality of life. The Bible shows us that in Genesis 3 verse 17, the tail end of that verse, God says, cursed is the ground for your sake, speaking to Adam. In the toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. You know what God is saying? Adam, because you've sinned, now for you to live off the land, it's going to be a lot harder because of sin. Sin will make life harder. Sin. When you disobey God, it makes life harder. Now, the devil has marketed sin very well because most sin that people commit, it doesn't actually say on the packet, this is going to make your life harder. How many know if we saw that and we believed that, we wouldn't do it? Most sin has been marketed, this is going to make your life happier, better, faster, more fulfilled. And then on the back, in tiny, tiny writing, the devil puts, and it's made, you know. And so the reality is sin. Sin makes your life harder. Sin is going to make you feel more heavier. You may have a good time for a brief moment, but then there's going to come the payment of it. And so this is how sin is. Sin is like having the backpack of life, and sin says, hey, come on this thing. What does it cost me? Don't worry about what it's going to cost you. Just come, and you go on it. Woo! Yeah, this is fun. Oh, I love this. Yeah, you want to go again? Yeah. Let me go again. Oh, yeah, this is great. And then when you finish, oh, that was the best. Woo, that was so good. And then sin comes along and says, okay, this is the payment. And it puts another big stone in your backpack and another one. And it's like, wow. Not before, many times not even during, after. This is what sin does. This is when we disobey God. We see it in the scripture. They disobeyed God and God says, well, now the penalty for disobeying God, life gets harder because you haven't done it God's way. And so then people, many times when we come into church, we come in with these burdens. This is why people can sometimes feel suicidal. They're like, I don't know how to get rid of this burden. I don't know how to get out of this burden. Sometimes people, they look for another person to get rid of this burden. If I marry you, you'll help me with this burden. You don't realize they got their own burden. Sometimes they get in your, they become a bigger burden. They climb on your back as well. People have this. They feel this. You start to feel stressed and overwhelmed, depressed, like I've said. And then not only does sin create a burden, let me tell you another thing. And this will maybe more hit home to most of the crowd here. Religion is another burden. Religion. I'm not talking about a relationship with God. I'm talking about religion. Religion is when you are trying to follow a code of some sort. Maybe you've conjured up in your head, this is what I'm going to try and do, but it's in your own power. It's in your own ability. It's you trying to turn yourself around. It's you trying to turn your life around. It's you, man, I'm going to turn my life around. People, you know, I've turned over a new leaf. That's not Christianity. You turning over. I've said it before. Christianity is not God making bad people good. Christianity is God making dead people alive. The Bible says that we were dead in our sin. We are walking, we're like zombies. We're walking around, we're moving, but we're dead in our sin. There is no life of God in us. There is no, there is nothing there. And so we come into the house of God and a yoke of religion is placed on us. that becomes a heavier burden. This is why sometimes people, they're in church and they're like, this is just, I feel this so heavy. I feel like this is worse than before. Now, how many know the Bible doesn't describe salvation in that way? The Bible describes is that who the Son sets free is free indeed. The Bible describes that he wants to give you life and life more abundantly. That's how the Bible describes salvation. God does, it's not that, you know what? In our text, what does he say? He says, come on to me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't say, come on to me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you more heavy ladens. How many know he didn't say that? Have you added religion to your sin, and this is why you feel so weary? I want to say to you today, Jesus is calling you. Matthew, when we read in that text, says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Jesus is calling you. This is who he wants. Have you ever seen someone, when an evangelist comes, it's not funny, I'm not going to laugh, but, you know, and he says, he says, someone, yeah, I'll give you a word. And he says, you. And people, me. No, not you. You ever see that? It's you. And if you're like me, I hate being the center of attention. I know it's irony. I have to stand up every week and preach to you. But I hate, so I would never say it was me. They always have to be like, no, you. The you. I'm not even going to say it's me. Because I'm like, oh, me? No, not you. Okay. All right. I'm happy for you. I just don't like that. So I'm like, I'll just stand there. They'd have to almost come and get the guy. You're going to have to, if you want me to come out, you're going to have to say my name or come and get me. I hate that. Is you. Can I tell you today, Jesus today is giving you a word. This is no mistake. This is not for her or for him or for them. This is for you. Jesus is calling you today. He's not calling the best of the best. You may think, I'm not where I should be, or I'm not how I could be, or there's people better than me. I guess those are the people he's going to call. But that Jesus says this, come to me, all who are all who labor and are heavy laden. You know what the word labor, what it means? It's those that are tired and weary. Those who have lost heart from an endless endeavor. They're trying to make something work, and it makes them tired. It makes them feel weary. It's wore them out. They just feel like, I'm trying to make this thing work. And that might be in a secular or it might be in a spiritual. You're trying to do things, maybe for God, and you feel weary. I don't know if you've ever felt that weariness. But God is, he's calling you. Have you noticed how lazy people seem not to worry about nothing? I don't know if that's you see people that are they're lazy. They're, it's fine. It's like, how come you're always laughing and joking? And I'm trying to work and make things happen. But God is not calling us just to be lazy. You try. This is how some people's Christianity is. You try, you fail. You feel guilty. And so then you try again harder. What I mean by this is you hear preaching. So we're going to talk about love more. We're going to talk about give more. We're going to talk about serve more. Go on more outreaches. We're going to talk about trust God more. Love your husband, your wife more. And you hear this, okay, and you're psyched. Yeah. And so what you do is you try in your own ability, your own strength. Then you fail. Then you come to church again, and when we mention it again, you feel more guilty than you did before. And so what you resolve in your mind, I'm just going to try again harder. And you fail again. And you fall into a vicious cycle of Christianity. Not that Christianity breeds this cycle, But there are many Christians in this cycle. That they're just in a cycle. This is their life. I'm going to try. Matthew 11, 28. The end of it, the text. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart. God wants to say, listen, you're trying, but the problem is you've got to let me teach you. This is what he's saying. You've got to let me teach you. Sometimes me and my wife will laugh about this, you know. And so I try and show her something. I say, okay, babe, this is what I need you to do. And she's like, okay. I said, babe, let me finish. Because she's always, you know, she's excitable. She's going to, and that's how we can be. Sometimes God gives us a little, oh, yeah, I got it now. Fine, thank you, bye, all right. God's like, no, let me teach you. Let me show you. Let me sit before me and allow me to lead you. Are you running ahead? Have you already figured out what life? Yeah, I figured out life now. And you're weary and heavy laden and burdened and tired and confused and disappointed of where you are. Jesus says this. He says, no, I want to teach you. He says, listen, you need to learn from me. Let me teach you. And he describes who he is so that we're not apprehensive about. You know, some people can teach you, they're harsh. How many know that some people can be harsh when they teach you? You know, that's one of the things I've learned in marriage. Is when I speak to my wife, I've told other guys in this church, don't try to disciple your wife. Because, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to put my hand up. I know you guys just love Jesus and, you know, you're perfect and I'm the only one. No problem. But, you know, just I've caught myself discipling my wife. No, we're going to do this and this is what we're going to do and we're going to do that. Okay, have you finished yet? How many times have you prayed? And you can't disciple like that. You can't disciple your wife, sorry, like that. Your wife's not your disciple. She's your wife. Maybe some women want to disciple their husbands. That's a whole nother sermon. Because sometimes you can teach people and be harsh. I remember when I was in school and I was the type of person that was always mucking about. And I know it seems hard to imagine that I wasn't like really disciplined student. But I remember one of the teachers and he got frustrated with me and he said, Courtney, your life will, he actually said this to me. He said, you will do nothing with your life. You'll amount to nothing. Wow. Even back then I was like, you're a teacher, man. Like, what kind of teacher is that? Even in my ignorance at 7, at 15, I was like, no, you go too far now, man. You go too far, bro. I don't know, kids can vex you, man. Kids can vex you. Young people can vex you. We used to have a science teacher. Back when I was a kid, they had this thing called a blackboard. They didn't have these white things that you write on now. And so they had the chalk, and they'd have to rub it off. And what he did is he would throw it at kids. See, I'm talking back in the day when you get the slipper. You guys don't even know what I'm talking about now. Now you give the teacher the slipper. Come out dumb as dirt. But anyway, that's another sermon. And so here's the teacher, and he's throwing that blackboard rubber at people. This thing, it's like wooden handle with like a sponge. This thing is no joke. It's not like a cloth. How many know that's not the type of teacher we want? How many thank God that Jesus ain't like that? That's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. Jesus is not about that. Jesus qualifies his ministry and he's saying, learn of me. Let me teach you to show you. Let me speak to Christians in this place. Are you doing things for Jesus without Jesus? Are you busy for Jesus without Jesus? Do you want to be involved? I want to be involved. I mean, thank God people want to be involved. Some people don't even want to be involved. But we thank God for people that want to be involved. But are you doing it with Jesus? Because I'm telling you now, if you start to do something for Jesus without Jesus, very, very soon you're going to feel heavy laden. You're like, oh, what, don't go down there. This is what they're going to do to you. They're going to laden you with heavy burdens. No, no, no. We're not giving nobody no burdens. You try to do something for Jesus without Jesus. When Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, I am gentle and lowly of heart. You know what he's saying? And this is actually what it means, and I need to clarify. Jesus says, I'm soft. Doesn't mean that he's soft, like that type of thing. Like he's soft, like this. No, you're soft, bruv. No, not like that. What he means is that the way I deal with you is gentle. He says, the way I'm going to deal with you, the way I'm going to come around you, the way I'm going to teach you and I'm going to show you things, he says, it's the word means to be soft or pleasant. As he's teaching you, he says, listen, I'm going to create a pleasant experience for you. Some of you think this is this really Jesus? He's saying, I'm not a harsh teacher, but a humble teacher. He says, I'm lowly of heart. That means humble. He says, what he's saying is, I'm going to work with you. I want to work with you. Jesus is saying to everybody today, I want to work with you. I don't mean like your opinion is like, yeah, well, we're in a democracy. Jesus, what do you want? Let's vote. No, no, no. How many know it's his will be done? Not my will be done, his will be done. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. But what he means is that he's working with us. He's working with us. He's working with your weaknesses. He's working with you. He's tailor-making his discipleship for you. Stop looking at others. Yeah, be inspired. But don't measure yourself with others. Don't measure yourself with others. You need to say, you know what? God, I want what you have for me. Everything you have for me, I want that. I want to learn from you. He says this. Then, when you come to him with all of those burdens, he carries that for you. He says you'll find rest for your soul. I want to ask you a question. You don't need to answer, but answer yourself. Have you found rest for your soul? There are many people that they get involved in Christian endeavors, but you see very little produce from their endeavors. Very little disciples. You'll see people in the church, they can't really, you'll see women that can't really produce another woman from their discipleship. Men that can't really produce another man from their discipleship. They're busy, they're doing things, and because they think that it's all about doing. No, it's a spirit. It's what you are. If you haven't found rest for your soul, you can't give me rest for my soul. You can't teach me. You can't take me to somewhere you haven't been. You can't lead me to places you haven't been. If I haven't got a cold, I can't give you a cold. And you got to have this. Do you? Have you found rest for your soul? When you find rest for your soul, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. The exterior things, you have rest for your soul. You can have rest for your soul single. You can have rest for your soul married. You can have rest for your soul poor. You can have rest for your soul rich. You can have rest for your soul with a house or without a house. You could be sick in your body, but you still have a rest for your soul. When I read it in a commentary, he said, this is what, he said, a restful relief, a ceasing from activity that results in a feeling of refreshing and tranquility and an absence of tension and worry. I don't know about you, but I want that. I have to read that again. A ceasing from activity that results in a feeling of refreshing tranquility. That's what I want. I want that in my inner man. I want that rest, that I don't feel the insecurities. I want that, that I don't have to compete. That there's a peace in me that can deal with me. I'm happy with me. Not with my carnal man, but just me and God. An absence of tension and worry. Jesus is not promoting a life which is lazy and ineffective. Jesus is saying, no, let me show you a way of life which is more effective. You know, there used to be this thing, I don't know if they still do it, Pepsi Light, basically like Diet Pepsi. I think it came out a long time ago. Pepsi Light, they have, if you go to Starbucks, I've had people offer coffee, they want a cappuccino light or a frappuccino light. I can't drink coffee anymore. Pray for me. I'm an old man now. But what Jesus wants to do is to give us something. See, Pepsi Light was the taste without the calories. Jesus wants to give you life without the worries. That's what he wants. He wants to give you life light. That you enjoy life, the fullness of life, a living experience. This is what we have. This is why people are amazed with us when we're Christians, truly saved, truly in that place where God wants us to be. Because they always ask us, well, what do you do? Have you ever had people like, what do you do now you're saved? Because they have to, because they live in a perpetual state of death. So they have to find these things to exhilarate and make you feel like you're alive again. So you have to take drugs, feel like you're alive. You have to get high. You have to sleep, always looking for this new thing to give me the illusion of life. But without Christ, you're dead because you was made for God. There's something missing inside of you. But with us as a Christian, we realize is that, you know what? We've received this life. That we're like, yeah, you know, it'd be good to do that. But if I don't, I still got life. I've got life without the heavy laden. Life without the burden. How do you find this? Very quickly as I close off. Very simple. Jesus says, learn from me. Are you studying to know Jesus? Guys, it is all about Jesus. Let me ask you a few questions you can answer within yourself. Do you come to church to know more about Jesus? Or do you come to church because you just feel you should come to church? Do you read and pray to know more about Jesus? Or do you just read and pray so that you know more, maybe than other people? I read and I know more than you. When you fellowship, do you love to talk about Jesus and share Jesus? Or do you just talk about yourself and what you want to do? In your ministry, is your ministry a fruit of Jesus teaching you? Or is it you've just learned this is what the organization does? Meaning, if we didn't do these things, something in you would still have this expression to do something because you found Jesus. I don't know, whether you're married or not, you still have to eat. How many know that, you know? You still have to eat. You still have to work. And so whether you're in ministry or not in ministry, there should be something in you. If you're with Jesus, you still have to eat. You still have to read your Bible and pray. You still have to tell people about Jesus. There's still this thing in you that wants to do it. I remember getting sent out, and a lot of people would ask me after I was a new pastor, hey, what's it like? What's it like? What's it like? And I was like, you know what? It doesn't feel much different than when I was in the body. Because we're doing the exact same things we were doing in the body. Yeah, there's other areas, there's changes, there's shift, there's nuances. But this is just the kingdom first. This is just living for Jesus. He's everything to me. This is what we do. We preach, we witness, we love people. We share the word of God. This is what a Christian is. The sad thing is when we make being a Christian this achievement you do. Well, if you be a Christian, then you've achieved this. No. Don't do things to please what you've made the church an organization. It's like Microsoft or Apple or Google. They have rules and regulations in their institution, and you adopt those rules to rise through the ranks. That's not what we want here. Because God, this is God's institution. And what God will do is he will continually hinder you. You'll be, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get to the top. I'm going to be here. And he just, no, you won't. He just holds you like that. He says, no, because this is about me. Me and you need to spend time. If you see a big tree and you see its branches are outspread and it's big and high. Did you know its roots have to go just as low and just as wide under the ground? The reason why some people fall over is that they're a tree that's big like that but have no roots. All it takes is someone to lean on it and it falls over. You need to have this life. Is it all about Jesus? Everything we do without Jesus, life just becomes heavy laden. Recently, I've started to try and go back to the gym. My gym saga, I'm sure you enjoy this. So I've been going for 3 weeks now, regular, twice a week. Yeah, so I've been going. And so who knows, soon you might see a difference. Praise God. Pray for me, I pray for you. And so a while ago, I bought these headphones. And they're like these Bluetooth headphones because I was like, you know, I don't want to get tangled up in the gym. I'm trying to look tough. And next minute, my days. So I've got these Bluetooth headphones. Like one goes in here, it's got a cable. One goes there. And so I was on the bike the other day. And I'm on the bike. And so I'm doing this intense workout. And so I'm sweating. Listen, man, I'm sweating. And so I'm finished. I'm tired. I'm trying to do more cardio than I've ever done in my life. And so I got this towel, pick up my car keys, and I walk to just go over to this other part, other equipment. And as I'm listening to this music, I got this like this Christian house music, so it's quick, so it makes me, pumps me up, man. So the people see me, I'm not dancing, I'm just saying it just keeps me going, you know. I know, I can't just listen to Hillsong. No. So hear me out. So I go to another machine. And as I'm going to the other machine, the music starts. I'm like, what? What's it? And I realize I'd left my phone. The solution was very simple. I had forgotten it, and I had moved away from it. And I couldn't hear it clearly anymore. It was so simple the solution was so simple. Just go back to where you left it. And I heard it clear. Today, maybe Jesus, when you come to, you hear sermons like that. Maybe when read Bible, it sounds a bit like just there's nothing wrong with your Bible. There's nothing wrong with maybe we need to go back to Jesus and say, you know what, Jesus? I'm going to study you. I'm going to learn how you would do this ministry. I'm going to learn how you would do this marriage. I'm going to learn how you would do this or whatever it is. You bring it. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what things you're, but if you would come back to Jesus, Jesus would lift that load off you. He says, listen, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're here, that's not Jesus, guys. That yes, there is a cross and there is laboring, but it should not be debilitating, you know, this hindrance. It should not be like that. That's not God. And take your eyes off everything else and say, you know what, Jesus? I want to learn of you. I need to spend time with you. I want to, the picture is, let me give you this. The Bible speaks about Revelations 4, verse 5. Revelations 2, sorry, 4 and 5. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else when I come to you quickly and remove the lampstand, unless you repent. We see that repent, this old English word repent. All it means is just turn. That's what I had to do. I couldn't hear. I had to repent and go back. And everything was clear. Your Christianity, your ministry, life. Life becomes clear. You was not built. No one here was built to do life without God. You wasn't made for it. You was not made for it. And if you try to make life work without God, it's going to be so heavy. It's going to be so burdensome. And sometimes you're pushed to the end to derision. You just don't know. You feel like no one cares. No one understands. Maybe so, but there is one who cares and there is one who understands and there is one who's calling you and his name is Jesus. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.